Let us pass the peace right now. You can even cross the aisles. You can get out of the pews and go to the back. Glad to see y'all here this morning. Good to see you. Did you break it?
Yes, it was broken, and that cold pack and hot pack wasn't doing a blooming thing.
Oh.
Now, would you join in the hymn of preparation, please? I'd like to welcome you brave souls to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We've only had 3 members fall and break something this week, so please be careful with the ice. If you don't need to get out of the house, and the house is the steps or the sidewalks are icy, please stay inside and let somebody bring something to you. Call the church office. We'd be happy to do that or arrange it for you. As you well know, all programming that was scheduled for the church last week was canceled, and we're going to try to play catch-up this week. The blanket-making tying session that was scheduled for last week has been rescheduled for tomorrow afternoon from 1 until 5. This is Monday from 1 until 5. It will either occur in the fellowship hall or the church library. We're still trying to pin down the location, but just come in around the church office and we can tell you where it will be. That will be for starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Men's Club will meet Tuesday at 5:30 in the fellowship hall with Justin Leppard as the speaker. The informational meeting for the Women's Cold Weather Emergency Shelter, the meeting was scheduled for last Tuesday, has been rescheduled for this Tuesday at 7 p.m., and that meeting will be in the Trinity class. This is not a training session for volunteers. This is merely an informational session so that we can share more information about the scope and the goals of the shelter. Finally, our Hot Wednesday gathering program will be on HomeSafe. A lot of good information on how to maintain safety within and around your home. The gathering program starts at 6 o'clock. If you would like to come eat dinner, please call the church office and make a reservation if you haven't already done so. Dinner is served from 5:15 until 6, and then the program is from 6 until 7. We have no other announcements, so let's prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
for the call to worship. Have you understood God's thoughts toward us? Have you listened to glad news of deliverance? We are here to receive God's message. Our hearts are open to the word we will hear. Listen, all who are near and all who are far away. God is calling us as servants and as saints. Usually we do not think of ourselves in that way. We resist lowly roles, but we do not aspire to sainthood. Do not be afraid to serve God with your whole being. Neither fear the call to join the saints of Jesus Christ. We trust that God will strengthen us for our task. We are ready to be led into new responsibilities.
And praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. We wait for you to hear our cries. We come from desperate situations and many moments of despair. Then when you call us together, we are challenged to be and to do more than we have already faced. We have spent our strength. How can we do more? Will you renew us here? We feel that we have labored in vain. Will you help us to make sense of our failures? Come with your saving help. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading comes from the 49th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 7, and can be found on page 830 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. Hear now God's word for us. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The epistle reading for today is the first 9 verses of Paul's letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, and it can be found on page 201 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Listen once again for God's word for us. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
You see the prayer concerns that are listed in our bulletin. I know that there are others that are alive in your heart, and we remember those as we prepare now to pause for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, on this Sunday, before Martin Luther King's birthday, and this Sunday, and the violence that has taken place in Arizona is so fresh in our memories, we come to you, dear God, and we pray for healing within the troubled minds of many. We pray, dear God, that you will help us as your church in the midst of our outreaching, that we would touch those who feel neglected and left behind and thrown on the side of the road, that they would feel your love and care, and that we could teach that there is a proper way to respond with voices of dissent. There's a proper way to respond to anger and to hurt. And it's not by hurting others. We love our land, O God, and yet we realize that it's not a perfect place. The schools are not always safe. That street corners can be places of violence. But dear God, we are so thankful for the privilege to have schools and to have streets where we can walk on in peace and relative calm. So we pray again for those who would inflict violence. We pray for ourselves, that you would help us to instill calmness and healing in a troubled world. That the message of love and the message of peace would rise above all this clamor. And somehow, O God, out of the midst of violence, somehow there would be a resurrection. A resurrection of tranquility. A resurrection, dear God, of saneness and of brotherly and sisterly care. We pray for these whose names are listed in our bulletin. For those who have already slipped away from us, and their memories are so vibrant and alive within our minds and our hearts, we thank you, dear God, for the lives that have been lived before us, and the privilege to carry on their heritage of faith. Be with us, Almighty God, as a church, as we serve here in Greenwood, as we reach out not only here but to other places in the world and to Honduras. Especially we pray for those in preparation to go, and for other missionaries in so many places of our world that we cannot even begin to name. and for soldiers faithfully standing by their duties. For bishops and ministers who lead the church, for politicians who serve in Washington and at home, especially do we remember them this day. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? God, you have given to us, and now we return to you a portion of that which we have received, humbly acknowledging, dear God, that of the portion that we give,
In reality, all that we have is yours. So use this, dear God, this portion that we have given to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Bless giver and gift, those who have not, or those who chose not to give this day. To all we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
I've asked somebody to come down here and help me with children's time, and that's Mr. Jimmy. He's my husband. Some of you might know him as Jim, but I call him Jimmy. But we are getting ready to go on a very, very special trip on Saturday. Does anybody know where we're going, Hunter?
Honduras.
Does anybody know where Honduras is? Where, Sam?
Side of the world.
Well, it seems like that when you get in that airplane, because I do not really like to fly, but it's really not on the other side of the world. I'm going to ask Jimmy to come up here and help me hold this up. Mary Ashlyn, I'm going to go behind you. All right. Does anybody know where we live? Does anybody know where the United States is? Okay, right there. And does anybody know where South Carolina is? Good, Caroline. All right, now, Honduras is a little bitty country right here. Okay, so everybody sit down. Y'all sit down so everybody can see. Mary Ashlyn, can you point? Oh, here we go. Honduras is a little country right there. And it's in Central America. And we're going to the capital, which is Tegucigalpa. That's a funny name. Tegucigalpa. Took me a year and a half to be able to say that before we went last year. But it's a big, big city, just like maybe, I don't know, Greenville, kind of like Greenville, Columbia. It's a lot bigger than that. But all of the roads, you know how all of our roads are nice and paved? All their roads aren't nice and paved. When you come to a stop sign in Greenwood, what do you do?
Stop.
When you come to a red light, what do you do?
Stop.
Guess what? They don't always do that there. So there's even danger every time we get in the van to go somewhere. And we go to an area to see the children and the families and to give them medical checkups in an area where they don't even have running water. What do you do if you have to go to the bathroom? You go into a bathroom here, right? And if you have to wash your hands, and they can't wash their hands. So there's a lot of disease, a lot of germs, a lot of sickness. So we go and we play. We're not, Jimmy and I aren't doctors, but we play with the children and we love them, and they're so lovable. They're just like you in that they're God's children, but they're not like you in that they don't always have a mommy and a daddy that can take care of them. They're very, very poor, and they don't live in houses like we live in. They might live in one room with all of their family, and they have dirt floors. But one of the places we go is a children's home, and that's where a missionary named Susie has taken a lot of those children, God's littlest lambs, that's right, God's littlest lambs children's home. She has taken those children who don't have mommies and daddies to take care of them and moved them out of the city, out of the dangers of the city. And it's on a beautiful, beautiful, at the top of a mountain, and they've built a church, and they have different buildings that the children live in. That's where we're taking blankets this year. Last year we made dresses. This year we're making blankets. This is one of them that some of you who came to Parents Night Out helped tie knots. And we're going to have a work day tomorrow, and I believe that you all are out of school. And if your moms don't work, maybe your mom can bring you and come and tie knots. But there's over 60 children who live at the children's home, and we would like to make a blanket for every bed. So if you want to, and anybody in the congregation, young or old, can come, they can go to Hancock and buy some fleece. We need 2 yards per blanket. And then come tomorrow sometime between 1 and 5, and we're going to tie knots of love. That's what we're calling it, knots of love, and we'll say a prayer for those children. We also have something else that you can do. And if you were in Sunday school upstairs, you probably did this. All of these children, I think all of the ones that were in elementary Sunday school, signed a sheet that said that you would pray for us. And what we're going to do is take these sheets with us. And we post them on a bulletin board while we're down there. So every morning when Jimmy and I and the other people who are going with us walk by, when we gather for breakfast, every morning I walk by those and I touch our sheets and I say, thank you, God, for all the prayers that the people in Greenwood that are lifting up for us. So if there's anybody up here now that wasn't in Sunday school that want to write their name on one of these sheets, I have some. Margaret, could you come help do this? But if you don't know how to write your name, ask Miss Margaret. She can put it on here. And then I have several sheets that I'm going to leave here on the prayer rail. And maybe some of you adults who were not in a Sunday school class that had a sheet, you can come up and add your name, and we'll take these and post them down in Honduras at the mission where we stay. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you by reaching others. Keep the team safe and help us do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear now the word of God as found in the gospel according to John. Begin reading with the 29th verse of the first chapter. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. In reading these passages of Scripture and thinking about all the things that have transpired in our last few weeks, there are a lot of things to me that seem to jump out from this passage. My first thoughts were of reflection on the naming of my children and thinking of the names of family members and how those names came to be. My son carries a four-generational name, Clifton. It's my middle name. It's my son's middle name. It was my dad's and his father's. And so when my daughter called me and said, "Dad, guess what Julian's middle name is going to be?" And I thought, "Clifton." And she said, "No, it's going to be Martin." I felt pretty good about that until I heard a guy on the radio the other day said, who would name their child's middle name Martin? And I said, "I would." So I don't know where that puts me in that guy's perception, and I really don't care, I don't guess. But maybe for you as well, when you think about your name and the names that you have given to your children and what they meant to you at the time and why you chose them. You remember both John and Jesus' names were given before they were born by an angel. I thought about names. Names that have meant something to me in my lifetime. Lee Harvey Oswald. James Earl Ray. Sirhan. Sirhan. Those that have inflicted violence upon our society have taken from us individuals that for some were voices of opposition to their particular ways of thinking. Then I thought about other things, the Kennedy era, the Reagan era, the Bush Clinton era. All these times when we speak about names of individuals that somehow or other affected the course of our nation, affected the way people look at our country, and about how it impacts us. Jesus is a disciple of John, some people say, that he had been journeying, and it came this time of transition. This is the last encounter that we will have with John the Baptist, other than his execution. He moves from the scene. His disciples are now in the process of deciding if they're going to follow Jesus or not. John encourages this, and we hear their names. The name that is not philosophical, doesn't speak of a great author, a name that is listed is Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he chooses that day to follow Jesus, and he goes and gets his brother. There's something so refreshing about Andrew. He's not giving out some questionable theology. He's just going and telling someone else where to find Jesus. Simon, come and see. We have found the Messiah. As I reflect upon the freshness of that mission, as I think about this individual who we remember solely because he chose on that day to become a disciple of Christ. I think about those individuals that in their encounter with God, their personalities have been changed. And for some, their names were changed. You remember Jacob, the heel clutcher, the one who had a hold of Esau's heel when he came out of the womb, the one who stole his brother's birthright, the one who was a wheeler dealer. One night, he wrestles with an angel of God. And he reaches into this negotiated settlement. And the angel says, "Let me go." And he says, "I will not unless you bless me." And that time he changes his name from Jacob to Israel, which is no longer heel clutcher, but God clutcher. We stand with our feet, so to speak, afresh on the brink of a new year. We stand with the options of fulfilling and doing whatever it is that God might be speaking to you and I to do. We too have had our names changed, particularly, I would say, our middle name. Instead of just being Terry Clifton Martin, now it's almost like Terry Son of God Martin. And your name is not maybe just that human-given middle name, but God has changed you, and you are now a daughter, a son of God. These individuals on that day at the Jordan had that time to decide, what am I going to do? You and I, in essence, will be making that choice every day this year. Every Monday, every Tuesday, every day of the week, we will be making the choice, what am I going to do about my relationship with Christ? What am I going to do about my mission in the world? I submit to you this morning that you don't have to be like Paul, write so many wonderful books and do 3 missionary journeys like these going to Honduras. That may not be where God is calling you. But I give you an assurance this morning that each one of us has some of the call of Andrew to share with others as Christ. To share with others this hope and this love. As I was preparing to come in here a while ago, someone came to me and was speaking to me about Jipo and what she meant and what a vivacious person she was. And you and I have the same choices that each one of these who have gone from us, to share, to proclaim that our name is son and daughter of God. I'll never forget my dad. He was not proud of his name, John. He used to always say, that was a horse's name. He said every horse he had and he named John, it died. And I remember him not being very happy. And I asked him one day, I said, Dad, why didn't you name me John? I would have loved to have been named after you. That's a horse's name, I thought. Until one day, we were in the back part of my grandmother's house, and my aunt had just given birth to my cousin, and we were talking about her name. And we were looking through this little pamphlet that they had given to her to look at names and all that. And my dad looked down, looked at the name John. And I will never forget the look in his face when out beside it was not horse's name, but out beside John was beloved of God. And I still remember the look on my dad's face. Your name too is loved of God. God loves each one of us. God cares for each one of us. And the joy that we have is to be a Simon. A simple Simon. To tell others about this wonderful Christ and this wonderful church where children and young couples and adults and senior folks can come and participate and give of themselves in the choir, give of themselves in handing out food, give of themselves in some place constantly this coming year. What's your name this morning? And what's it going to be this coming year in the kingdom of God? Amen. Number 568. Let us stand together. Touch the sick. Heal the broken. Restore those who have lost so much. Be God's servant in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.